This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
You are listening to The Arenality on ORFM.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to The Arenality, a show on the cultural identities of women in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Today, I want us to talk about a quote that I found on Instagram. And it made me reflect a lot on the whole week. And the quote is, "You are only season one of Friends." Referring to the TV show Friends, if you're not aware of that. But it was a scene where Monica Geller, who is one of the characters in Friends, said, "I'm 26. And I felt that because I am 26. So what I got from the quote was that feeling of, you're right, I am only on season one of Friends. There is so much to life. And why am I rushing to do everything this year? And I think all of this came into place with, you know, just feeling like you're running out of time. It is also almost September. I am sure everyone is feeling like the year has gone by really fast. And there may be goals or certain things that you thought you'd achieve this year, but you haven't. And so you're feeling that, oh, where did all the time go? So, yeah, I hope, you know, with all of that, all of those emotions in place, you sort of understand where I'm coming from today. So today we're going to talk about what it means to grow up and not rush through everything. What it means to be 26 in my personal phase right now. But I also want to relate it back to the TV show Friends, and also some other TV shows that I've been watching recently. So when I realized that Monica was 26 in season one, it just really blew my mind, because I think I started watching Friends when I was in university, maybe in my first or second year, and it was really my comfort TV show. It was like the show that I would just play on Netflix when I'm alone in my flat, because it just gets a little too quiet if I don't play anything in the background. So it was my background TV show. It was very comforting. And so now that I realize that Monica was 26 when it was season one, it just made me realize of how young I was when I started watching it, and realizing that, oh, I think I'm doing just fine right now with everything I'm doing. And so I hope that this episode would bring you some sort of comfort, knowing that you are on the right track and you're doing the best you can, and we're all feeling this. So let's talk about what Friends, the TV show, was like in season one. In season one, they were just starting to build their friend group, meaning Rachel, who left her fiancé at the altar. She didn't know what she was going to do. She met Monica because she knows that Monica lives in the city. And she started to live with her, and then that's when Rachel started being friends with people in Monica's friend group. So Phoebe, Joey, Chandler, and Ross, her brother. And we get to see how Rachel was really frazzled in the beginning of the first few episodes of season one. She basically didn't know how to adult. She always had someone taking care of her before. She didn't care for her finances as she should. And so they remember when there was a scene where she had all of the friends come together and cut up all of her credit cards so that she can start paying her credit card debt and also find a job. And yeah, just thinking about that, you know, that also says a lot about where, what it was for season one Rachel. And to know that, you know, it might, we might be right where she is and it's fine. And so season one of Friends was really about their uncertainty in life and creating new beginnings, new friendships, new love interests, and also, yeah, everyone, each of the characters were figuring something out. And there is a lot to life. So I thought that I could reflect on what I thought my life would be like at 26. You know, I still can't believe I'm 26. I feel like my life paused at 22 at least. And yeah, since starting a full-time job and working here for the last 4 years, I feel like the time went by really quickly. But it only, like, only if I sit down and I really reflect on how much things have changed, I can actually tell and see how different my life is comparing then to now. What did I thought my life would be then? I actually don't know. I never really put a number to when I would achieve certain things in life. It could probably be because I did not expect to be in New Zealand and having my life here when I was a teenager. I knew I was going to come back, but I never really expect how long I would be, what kind of job I would have, whether I have my family here. And, you know, just thinking about how, what it means to be 26 right now, and looking at my friend groups, we are all in very different stages of our lives. Just recently, one of my best friends gave birth to her first baby, so I am officially an auntie. Yeah, my best friend from high school. So it does feel quite of a shock realizing that, you know, my friend from high school who we were kids with, now is a mom. And I just can't really wrap my head around that yet until I probably see her in person and being a mom. But I guess it's just, yeah, I just have this real, I'm just realizing of how different everyone's life is at 26. We're all doing things differently. Some of my friends are single and looking for people, looking for companionship. Some of my friends are working really, really hard with, you know, lots of different types of jobs. Some of my friends are still studying. They might be doing a PhD or they might, you know, start study quite recently. And I think the friends that I have are quite diverse in cultures as well. So there are definitely lots of cultural expectations that come with all of these milestones, as you would think of it. Personally, my family didn't really have milestones or anything. Like, they never told me, like, my parents never told me, oh, Irina, you have to be married by this certain age. They never made me have to, you know, achieve anything like that. But I do know that there are some people in my own culture who might have parents who would put certain targets. And for example, they might say something like their parents might say, oh, if you don't find someone by the age of, I will find someone for you. And yeah, that is definitely the reality for some people. So it is good for us to know that everyone has different, very, very, very different life circumstances. And I remember when I, so I got married when I was 23. And when I told some of my Kiwi friends that, they were quite shocked, like, whoa, you're getting married so early. And I had to explain, like, for us, getting married means having a partnership, because for Muslims, we can't live together if we're not married. We can't, you know, we can't do really anything if we're not married. So can't even hold hands. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of those background knowledge that is very important for people to understand, especially if, you know, for example, I have known my partner since we were 15. So it has been a long time coming. And culturally, it is quite normal for people to be married at around early 20s. In my culture, my parents got married when they were 21. They had me when they were 23. Which is why I think I want to have this conversation today, to let you know that, you know, timelines work differently in different cultures. And yeah, I remember having a conversation with a friend who wants to start a life with their partner, but their parents weren't happy because before starting a life together, they need to buy a house first. And so I personally don't think that's a realistic timeline for people in this generation in general, because have you seen the housing crisis that we are in? Are you aware of how difficult it is to buy a house as a young person right now? So yeah, sometimes there are situations where the older generation might not understand the difficulties to their children starting a life or buying a house, or, you know, even getting married is so expensive. And yeah, there is definitely a lot of imbalance when it comes to supporting yourself now and starting all these different milestones that you think is important to have in life. So yeah, coming back to Friends, the TV show, the characters in Friends, they were very messy in season one. As I'm reflecting on this, I feel like watching it again because I just miss how chaotic season one was. There was just so many things wrong in every episode. You know, they were looking for jobs. They had, you know, they had uncertainties about their love lives. But what I also want us to understand is that, you know, Friends, it went on and on and on from season one to season 10. And so, you know, there was at least 10 years of that. 10 years of seeing how the characters develop, how the characters changed, all of the life choices they make, all of the mistakes they make, all of the things they were proud of. So we watch shows, we watch TV shows or movies for the character development, the growth. So why don't we do that to ourselves as well? It is really important for us to think about, you know, in life, you don't really have the opportunity to see instant results. And I think it's very important for us to think about why this is the case for TV shows and movies. You know, things just don't really happen magically. For long-term TV shows like that, it takes a while for things to develop, and which is why we say, you know, oh, we love the character development in certain characters. It's because the writers wrote their characters in a way that is human, that, you know, it takes a while for things to develop, and that's okay. I'm currently watching The Summer I Turned Pretty, and I think I want to mention it a bit because I have been reflecting on this topic a bit as well. So The Summer I Turned Pretty is by Jenny Han. If you're not aware, it is like a young adult book author. She also is the writer for To All the Boys I Loved Before. And what I loved about The Summer I Turned Pretty is right now it is a show that's coming out quite, I don't know what you call it, but it's not like a show where you binge. It's coming out like every week on Prime. And I appreciate shows like that now. As much as I am impatient, like I want to know what happens in the next episode, I think it is really important for us to slow down and have that anticipation, because life, you know, TV shows and all of that, it used to be like that. Growing up, you know, there would be one episode a week, and you have to be there at that certain time to watch it. If you miss it, you know, there might be reruns, but, you know, you might need to ask someone to record it for you. Otherwise, you miss it. So, yeah, because The Summer I Turned Pretty is airing only weekly, and it's on a really specific time of Wednesdays at 7, which is just nice, the midweek pick-me-up I need after work. It just makes me feel like I have something to look forward to every week until the last episode. There's also like a TikTok community where people are making videos of their reactions to certain scenes and all of that. So there's a lot of things people are happy about when it comes to, you know, when it comes to appreciating every episode rather than, you know, here's 10 episodes of season 3, so, you know, binge for 10 hours and then only react through the whole show. So yeah, let me talk to you about The Summer I Turned Pretty. It is about Belly, who has a triangle love between two brothers, Conrad and Jeremiah. Honestly, if I say it this way, it's a little bit stupid, but, you know, we have to appreciate the coming of age. You know, they are young. They have no idea what they're doing in life. But what they know is that they want to be together. And I think, you know, you just remember how simple life was at that age where you think, you know, it is all that matters. So coming from season 1, Belly was quite awkward, young, and it was the summer that she turned pretty when she realized, you know, she wants to go out and make new friendships. She even joined like the debutante ball and things like that. So there's a lot of character growth and like trying new things at season 1. And each season of the show, it kind of builds quite slowly of how confident she's become. But what I love about Belly is she's very, very flawed. She's not a perfect character. And I think that is what I really appreciate about shows these days, especially like new ones, because the shows from like 2000s chick flicks and things like that, because I am definitely a chick flick kind of girl growing up. The characters can be quite flawed in the beginning, and then suddenly, you know, they sort their life out, and then 100% they are a new person. They are disciplined. They got the man they want. But Belly has never shown her perfection. She always has something that's quite, that she's still working on. And yeah, like, we romanticize coming of age on screen, but we also pressure ourselves off screen when we think about how this relates to our life. So I do want us to think about how, you know, the shows that we watch, the movies that bring comfort to us, and that can be anything. For me, my comfort shows are Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl, and what's that one? Pretty Little Liars. So I definitely grew up with those TV shows with strong female characters. And it just makes me feel like, you know, there's so much to look forward to, or life is just a mystery and you just gotta solve it. But yeah, just reflecting on all of this, reflecting on the shows, what does it mean to be 20? What does it mean to be 20 and failing and trying and learning? And I think it's really important for us to have a chat about this, because why do we feel like we have to rush everything? I remember having this chat with my mom, and she said something like, it's really fascinating to see how young people these days are, you know, trying, you know, different cafes, or, you know, feeling like they have to own expensive things. But I think it comes from social media, because back then, like in her generation or before, people didn't have that constant comparison. You wouldn't know what people you don't know are doing. Your inspiration comes from curated magazines. But for us, it's so publicly available on our phones and on our devices, where people are showing off, or people are just sharing their lives. And whether or not they are showing off, it just brings all these feelings of comparison. And we feel like we have to show up in a certain way, or we have to do certain things so that we can be on top of our lives. Yeah, so that the fear of being left behind is definitely something that people are quite thinking about, especially when you're in your 20s. Productivity culture is also a thing. You feel like you have to tie your worth to your achievements. Like, who are you if you're not going to mention the things on your CV, for example? What are the things that your coworkers or people who know you in the professional space, the things that they don't know about? And I think I want to wrap this episode with, you know, the thought of the concept of Qada and Qadar, which is in Arabic means fate and destiny. And it is quite an important Islamic perspective. And I think I've mentioned this a few times in this show as well, because it's something that I hold on to. But it's trusting God's timing, and also not forcing outcomes, because what is meant for you will come to you. And I think, you know, it's important for us to try our best when it comes to the things we want to do, but also don't feel like you are a failure if you don't achieve those things, because maybe it's just not the right time yet, or maybe there is a different path for you that you just don't realize is a lot more valuable or important for you to achieve, rather than whatever it is you think you want to achieve or society thinks you want to achieve. But yeah, let's come back to the quote. You are only season one of Friends. Regardless of whatever age you are only season one of Friends. And I do want us to feel like it's okay. It's okay if you feel like you haven't achieved everything before September starts. It's fine. It is always okay to start again. Just begin again. It is okay to not start everything on a Monday. You don't have to start everything in January. You don't have to start everything at 8 a.m. It's fine. You can just start whenever you want to. And I am also, you know, soothing myself when I say this. All of the reflections that I have with you is also a reminder for myself. So I hope that that was comforting. And just know that, you know, we're all doing okay. Till next time, kakite, I'll see you again in the next episode.
You've been listening to The Arenality on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.